SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast. Carver High, Dubs Anderson in for Scotty. We are still in this World Cup match between the United States and Iran. All right, Dubsy, that was a close one right there. Ball got by Turner, then cleared away by the United States defense. What do we got here now? They're all screaming at each other here, Dubs. What is the problem here? Does Iran calling for a hand? What do they want right now?
I tell you what, Carver. I don't think I can hang out with you anymore. This has taken years off my life watching the last 10 minutes here. Iran are jumping up and down saying there should have been a penalty awarded in the box there. The Team USA defenders come across the back there. They missed an open goal chance. Zimmerman, who gave up that penalty in the first game, came through as the hero there, clears it, and it's all but done. Team USA get the victory, baby. 1-0 over Iran, punching their ticket to the knockout stages, baby. Christian Pulisic, take a bow, son. Captain America, how good is that?
That is outstanding. It was extremely hairy at the end for the United States. Some close calls. I did just see the replay, Dubs. It was close. I mean, they might have had. I could see what they were arguing about, but that's the way it goes, Dubsy, and the United States moving on. All right, now we can talk about the Netherlands, Dubs. Get ready, baby.
What a performance from Greg Berhalter. He's my favorite manager in the business.
Oh, Dubsy.
The youngest guy. Greg, I love you, pal. What an achievement for this young team, this young core of players. Pulisic gets the goal there in the first half. Iran pushed him. We knew they were going to try and open up the floodgates there in the second. A lot of opportunities. Team USA, I mean, hey, they could go all the way in this thing, Carver. Very exciting times there for American soccer. The future is real bright.
Let me tell you, Turner better go buy those guys a steak tonight in Qatar. That was
– Yep.
That got by him, Dubs. And look, he was so far out and it had no juice to it. It was just kind of rolling away from him. But that was a very, very scary spot. So the 38th-minute goal – by Pulisic is the only one. 1-0 United States win. Pulisic did not play the second half. That is now, Dubs, going to be the focus as we get ready. And look, you got to put these away quick, Dubs. When you win in the World Cup and you're moving on to the next one, especially a truncated one like this where they're basically trying to play the entire tournament in 29 days, it's like this is a great win. It's a great moment for the United States, for Berhalter, for this young group that finally they come back. These guys hadn't been here before to get to the knockout round. Huge accomplishment for all of them. Pulisic scoring the goal. But now you got basically a couple hours to celebrate it, Dubs. And you got to play Saturday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern time. They will face the Dutch, who were first place in group number A. And we immediately move on to the next one. Fascinating stuff, Dubsy. It really is. Fascinating.
Yeah, it is. And we're still going to carry the yellow cards into the round of 16. Yes. And again, same as today, it's going to be a win or go home. So this was a great test for this young side, knowing that everything was on the line and you had to get a result. Taking on the winner of Group A there, do I like our chances against the Netherlands? Two wins, raw. They have been fantastic there. Cody Gapko, we saw this morning, another goal to his name. Virgil van Dijk, been one of the form players in the lead up here. So taking on the Netherlands, it is going to be a much tougher test than what we've seen out there this afternoon. I would put them, you know, right on par with the English side. Still 14-1 for the Netherlands, which, you know, you could argue are a value play. I don't want to go against Team USA getting knocked out there in the round of 16, but it's going to be a step up in class. And the same concerns are going to linger around. We've only put up, another one goal scored today. We scored one against Wales in that opening game. We struggled to convert opportunities, and the set pieces continued to haunt Greg Berhalter and this side. So back to the drawing board. You need goals. If you want to keep advancing in this World Cup, you need to find the back of the net, and that's still going to be a bit of a concern for me going forward here, Carver.
It certainly is, Dubs. That is going to be a concern. We welcome in all of our radio affiliates for El Coast to Coast on a Tuesday. Carver Hyde, Dubs Anderson in for Scotty. SiriusXM, Channel 159, SportsMap, Sports Byline. Good to have you with us. United States advancing to the knockout round at the World Cup. A 1-0 victory over Iran in Qatar. They are fired up, Dubsy. I love every minute of it. I have actually watched a lot of the Dutch in the group stage because I had tickets on them, Dubs. That is why I've watched quite a bit of the Dutch so far.
Shocker.
I have not been overly impressed with them. I really haven't, especially in the Ecuador match, where Ecuador really, I thought, deserved a little bit better. I thought they outplayed the Dutch in that match. But, like you said, a good comparison. Lots of skill players like England on Friday who they faced. And this is going to be a different scenario. This is not a group stage game. This is knockout round. So, like if you'd face an England in a knockout round, the skill players, Dubs, tend to know they got to score goals. And that's going to be Memphis Depay and the other kid, Gakpo, he's scored in all three games for them so far. Going to be a challenge for them. We will come back, finish up with the soccer, get into some other stuff. We got the lion's share later with the college football. We'll start rolling into a regular coast-to-coast here. Carver High and Dubsy in for Scotty, Sports Grid Radio. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back. Pharrell Coast to Coast on a Tuesday. Carver High and Dubs Anderson in for Scotty. Scotty, of course, off all week on vacation. We are rocking with you on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Just finished up. United States, a victory over Iran, 1-0. Pulisic the hero, despite not playing in the second half. They will face the Dutch Saturday morning, 10 a.m. East, over in Qatar with a chance to move on in the knockout stages. Tremendous job by everybody all around. I'm hoping, Dubs, that by the time we get out of here, which I think, hopefully in the next hour or so, even sooner, you know how fast the books move now, we'll have a number to see what kind of juice we can get with the United States. Little plus, you know we're getting plus money, Dubs. We're getting plus money with the boys Saturday morning. I'm interested, Dubs, to see how much we get. I'm thinking maybe a little similar, or probably less because of how sluggish the Dutch have been. Probably a little bit less, but similar to what the England number was last Friday.
Yeah, I think so. From Team USA, they got to like their chances. They have improved with every single effort. Again, it's just going to come down to goal scoring. They're probably going to have to put up a one-piece, a two-piece. Can they really move it at such a high clip? But if we thought the last match day for the group stage was exciting, wait till the knockout stages. Wait till we start getting through extra time and we go to shootout. So for Team USA, I think we do need Christian Pulisic healthy and in that starting 11. You saw there in the second half, they lost a bit of direction when Christian wasn't out there for Greg Berhalter. So that's what I'm looking for. But you give me plus money on Team USA against a middling Netherlands side. Virgil van Dijk, you know, who's been pretty solid. Gakpo, who's been, you know, sort of one of the breakout stars. That's going to be a saucy matchup, to say the least, Carver.
No question. And the other thought, last thing on the United States, Dubs, between now and Saturday, of course, is going to be the health of Christian Pulisic. That is going to be the main thing around this team now. They obviously dealt with a lot of things off the field, press conferences, etc., going into this match with Iran. Now the focus over the next 3 or 4 days is going to be the injury to Pulisic, and how serious is it, and is he going to be okay? Because they are absolutely, Dubs, going to need him running the show out there with the rock against the Dutch. He's got to be out there. They need him.
Yeah, he's the number one distributor, facilitator. He can slow things up and certainly mix it with some of those big names which the Netherlands do possess. But I think for Team USA, a lot of confidence coming out of that group stage. What a success for Greg Berhalter, and I don't think that's enough. I think you've got to, you know, reset the goals, reset the bar. And I think they've proven it to themselves that they can step up under pressure situations. They can take it to one of the favourites in England here prior to the World Cup starting and look pretty good. So they got to like their chances against the Netherlands. Plenty of optimism for that one.
All right, so we'll see if we get a number for that, Dubs. I'm sure that we will by the time me and you get out of here today on Coast to Coast. Let's finish up some soccer here before we get into some other stuff for the rest of the day. We have four more matches tomorrow, of course, Group C and Group D. I'm going to start with the other magic group. Let's start with Tunisia and France first. I don't want to get you too hyped up with the Socceroos right out of the gate. Let's start with France and Tunisia. Of course, France are already through, Dubsy. Tunisia hanging by a thread. I mean, they need a lot of things to happen, including beating the French tomorrow to go through. Minus 210 for France, plus 320 for the draw, plus 625. I have done very well, Dubs, through the first two France games, just betting on Mbappe to score. That's been enough.
Yeah. Yeah, the big talk coming into the World Cup, who was going to be the next, you know, sort of superstar face off the game. We know Messi and Ronaldo are sort of, you know, coming to an end in their careers. It's Kylian Mbappe. I mean, he has looked fantastic there for the French side. He's looked fantastic at PSG all season as well. He slows things, you know, down around him. Taking on the Socceroos Australia, they were clinical, and they have got to be one of the favourites. Brazil and France moving into the second week here in Qatar. The team to beat. No Karim Benzema, no worries.
No worries whatsoever. You're right. I expect them to take care of business tomorrow on their way into the knockout round. The other match in Group D, though, Dubsy, and these both of these games, 10 a.m. East kickoffs tomorrow in Qatar, is the Socceroos of Australia facing Christian Eriksen and Denmark with, let's just be fair, the, you know, opportunity to move on here. Great chance for Australia to get through to the knockout stage. Denmark can do that as well with a victory. Plus 575 for the Aussies, minus 200 for Denmark, plus 320 for the draw. I know where you're going, Dubsy. I know already.
Aussie. Oi, oi, oi. No one gave us a fighter's chance. I'll take the double chance, speaking of chances. The Socceroos to win it outright, and the draw there is pretty feisty. Taking on a Denmark side who have Christian Eriksen, who's been great with Manchester United this season. I mean, it was just over a year ago. This guy had a cardiac arrest out there on the pitch, and they thought he was donezo with life. And here he is at the World Cup. But Denmark have been one of the disappointing outfits, you know, to start the first week there. For the Socceroos, the fate, it's in the Aussies' hands. Go out there and win it. Get yourself out of the group stage. But, I mean, in that group, it has been all about the French, the Aussies. I think they could pull another upset there tomorrow, and you're getting fantastic plus money. That's what we're all about. The Aussies, no marquee players, but they've just got that grit. You know, get pull the sleeves up and get it done. Very physical.
I'm on them, baby. Let's go. I'd love to see the Aussies move on for your Dubs and for my account. Please, Aussies move on to the knockout stage. We would love to see it. Group C has the later matches tomorrow, which was the same time today. 2 p.m. Eastern kickoffs for both of these. Mexico, Dubsy, hanging by a thread. They need a win against Saudi Arabia and a lot of help in that Poland-Argentina match to be able to try and get themselves into the knockout stage again. Minus 145 for Mexico, plus 360 for Saudi Arabia, who shocked Argentina in the first match of this group, plus 310 for the draw.
Give me a slice of El Tree there. Mexico played Saudi Arabia five times. They've won four of those with a draw. I mean, how can Saudi Arabia concentrate on this one? They all got Rolls Royces after beating Messi in Argentina there to open up the campaign. That was their World Cup. The best is behind them. Mexico with it all on the line. I think that's a bounce back spot. Minus 145. Give me El Tree.
And finally, Dubs, tomorrow, the other match is Messi in Argentina getting off to the tough start. The shock loss to the Saudis. Now they have an opportunity facing Lewandowski and Poland to get themselves into the knockout stage. One of the favorites of this tournament. Minus 210 tomorrow, plus 600 for Poland, plus 310 for the draw.
Yeah, for Poland, it's all going to be about Barcelona's star, Lewandowski, but I don't think it's going to be a match for a motivated Lionel Messi in Argentina. It's not just you know, Messi, they've got the likes of Alvarez up there from Man City. This is a loaded and stacked team, and one that if they can pull off a statement win tomorrow, could certainly get themselves back into the favoritism in the futures market there. So I expect a big performance from Messi in Argentina. This guy continues to score, and what a final swan song it would be for Messi to win a World Cup, the one trophy that has eluded him his whole career there with Argentina.
Now, there's a lot of scenarios for Mexico, as we mentioned, but they have to beat the Saudis. If Mexico and Poland win, Mexico finish second. If Poland and Argentina draw, Mexico would have to win by 3 goals. If Mexico win and Poland win, Mexico would have to overturn a deficit of 4 goals, Dubsy. So it is up against them here. That's why plus 260 for Mexico to move on, minus 275 for Poland. Argentina still in the driver's seat despite the loss, minus 700.
Yeah, it's tough to see a bit of value there. If Poland can force a result there, minus 275, that's a decent play. I like Mexico for the win, but to have everything go in their favour, maybe asking a little too much there. But this is the beauty, week two of the World Cup, where math starts to become, front and centre. Very interesting.
Let's just get the Socceroos through, Dubsy. That's all I care
about
tomorrow.
That's all we need.
Come on. Get the Socceroos into the knockout round. Let's go. All right, Pharrell coast to coast. Carver Hyde, Dubs Anderson, in for Scotty. Sports Grid, Sports Grid. We'll come back. Lion's Share, College Football Championship Week. Jerry Palm, CBS, right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Know your prey. This is a whole new jungle. This is The Lion's Share. Brought to you by BetMGM.
And we are back. Pharrell coast to coast here on a Tuesday. Carver High in for Scotty, Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Good to have you with us here. It is time for The Lion's Share. As always, brought to you by BetMGM. We start with the Coast to Coast code, of course. Risk-free wager up to $1,000 on BetMGM when you use the promo code Coast to Coast. That's Coast, the number 2, Coast, here on BetMGM. The Lion's Share is always brought to you by BetMGM. It is College Football Tuesday here, and a special guest for the Lion's Share on College Football Tuesday, and that is Jerry Palm from CBS Sports. Jerry, always good to have you with us, my man. We get through the regular season. It is time for championship week. And the playoff picture, Jerry, actually a little clearer as we head into championship week for once.
Yeah, definitely as clear as it really has ever been going into championship week. We've got 3 undefeated teams, Georgia, Michigan, TCU. I think that they are all locks for the college football playoff at this point. Number 4, USC at 12-1 or 11-1, the chance to go 12-1, win the Pac-12 championship. They'll be in. And then whoever the committee likes between Ohio State and Alabama for number 5, I think it'll be Ohio State. They're the ones waiting in the wings for USC in case they lose. That's pretty much it. Nobody else is in play for the college football playoff anymore after a couple of upsets this weekend. And it's really hardly ever this clear going into championship Saturday.
It really is. And I know a lot of people, myself included, I find it very hard to put Ohio State in off of that performance against Michigan at home. But you're right. If there are slip-ups by USC, I mean, where else are you going? I mean, I've seen people actually kind of try to pump up Alabama, Jerry. I mean, would they really put a 2-loss Alabama in over a 1-loss Ohio State?
They do like Alabama, historically. The committee loves themselves some Alabama. But they also love Ohio State. And Ohio State is 11-1, dominated in those 11 wins, which includes a win over Notre Dame, who's in the rankings. And I just think that, Ohio State's full season has been better than Alabama's full season, but you never know what they're going to do. But I do think it'll be Ohio State at number 5. But that's the thing, is that these rankings are relative. So most years you might think, 11-1 isn't going to be good enough, especially after how they looked against, especially the second half against Michigan. But somebody's got to be number 5. Who else is it going to be? It's not going to be Tennessee. It's not going to be Kansas State. I mean, who's it going to be? It's going to be Ohio State.
It is amazing that, like you said, we usually don't have this much clarity as we head into championship weekend, but we do got it. So the biggest game on the board, Jerry, for all of this is this USC game Friday night. This is a Friday night game, remember, in Vegas against Utah, who they have already lost to this year. This is the swing game for all of this that will open up the doors for discussion, Jerry. If USC can take care of business, there really might not be much more to talk about. What do you think will happen here Friday night in Vegas? USC right now, couple point favorite over the Utes.
I like USC. I like the way they're playing right now. Their offense is clicking at a very high level. And I think their defense is better than in that first meeting with Utah about 6 weeks or so ago. But one thing that USC's defense really does well is take the ball away and give this prolific offense shorter fields to work with. It's their turnover margin is insane. And when you're taking the ball away like that, it's really hard to stick with these guys. Now, Utah did a great job in the first game. In fact, really went for the win late, going for two after the touchdown that, you know, people thought would tie the game. They went for two in the win, and it worked. So, but this game is not going to be at Utah. This game will be neutral in Las Vegas, and I like USC, the better team, on a neutral field.
I'm with you, Jerry. I mean, it took everything for Utah to beat them the first time, the two-point conversion with Cam Rising at the end of the game. I think that unlike last year, where Utah dominated Oregon, dominated them again, I think USC on a neutral field going to have some pushback, especially with everything right there in front of them. Next, noon East, high noon kickoff in Dallas, Jerry's World for the Big 12 Championship, Kansas State and TCU. Earlier this season, Kansas State blew a 28-10 lead against the Horned Frogs. TCU came all the way back at home and won it. Right now, going into this one, TCU -2.5, big total 62.5. Does TCU, Jerry, finish the job against Kansas State?
Yeah, I think they will. Kansas State, though, has had a great year. They're going to be in the top 15 of the rankings when they come out tomorrow night, or actually tonight. I never know what day it is anymore. So the TCU, though, did you see what they did to Iowa State? Iowa State had one of the best defenses in the country, and TCU lit them up for 62. Now, Iowa State's offense has been pretty bad, which is why they're in last place in the Big 12. But their defense has been solid, one of the best in the country all year, and TCU hung 62 on them. This is a team on a roll and on a mission, and I think that they're going to finish the job against Kansas State. But regardless, I think win or lose, TCU is in the college football playoff, and therefore, win or lose, Kansas State would be in the Sugar Bowl.
That's where I was kind of going next with you, just to finish off TCU. Do they, you know, if let's say USC loses on Friday night, is it a lot easier night's sleep for Sonny Dykes and everybody at TCU in Dallas waiting for that game, especially if the Trojans lose? Or if the Trojans win, is there still that little bit of pressure? We don't want to leave the door cracked open whatsoever. Because like you said, the committee loves Alabama, and there's been this theory that they don't love TCU so much, and they'd look for a reason to get rid of them.
Well, you can't prove it by this year that they don't love TCU. Here's the thing. Yeah. If their name was Oklahoma, we wouldn't be having this conversation. That's just brand bias. But I don't think the committee has brand bias necessarily. I mean, with the possible exception of Alabama. But I think their bias with Alabama isn't so much brand as the ridiculous amount of talent they run out on the field. And sometimes they just get their eyes get glazed over looking at all these five-star guys that they run out there. And there's some of that with Ohio State as well. But TCU has had a fantastic season, and if Kansas State trips them up and wins the Big 12, I don't see how TCU could be denied a spot in the college football playoff behind Ohio State and behind Alabama.
I am with you, Jerry, and I hope that that is the case. I hope it's this four that we get. I don't want any discussion. I want Georgia, Michigan, TCU, USC. I think it would be a lot of fun. This game in the SEC in Atlanta has lost, obviously, a lot of steam because LSU could not take care of business against Texas A&M on Saturday. So now they're catching 17.5 points against Georgia, and nobody has anything to play for because, like we said with everybody else, Georgia could somehow lose this game, and they are still 1,000% still in the college football playoff.
Yeah, that's a big number for an LSU team that has really been good up until Texas A&M. I don't know what happened there. But LSU has played very well between the Florida State game and the Texas A&M game. And if that LSU team shows up and Georgia's just sleepwalking, they've got a chance to get beat. I think that Georgia, though, you know, if they see championship, they want championships. Conference championship, national championship. I don't think Georgia's going to just mail this one in. I think they're going to come out and try and send a message that their title from last year is going to be very difficult to wrest from their hands.
Next, let's go to the American title game. This is on site at Tulane down in New Orleans. They have UCF coming to town. These two teams played a really fun game there a couple weeks ago that the Knights ended up winning. -3.5 for Tulane, 56.5 is the total, and a very coveted, Jerry, New Year's Six bowl spot on the line. We know what that means to these schools to be able to secure that spot.
Yeah, no question. And that game will be in the Cotton Bowl. The Group of Five champion will end up in the Cotton Bowl this year because that's the only one of the New Year's Six bowls that has open spots, not contracted to conferences. So, UCF won the first meeting. I think it was 38-31 at Tulane. John Rhys Plumlee, the UCF quarterback, got hurt in the last game. Don't know what his status is for this one, but their backup has been pretty good. So I don't know if that's going to matter too much, but I like Tulane in the rematch, playing on their home field, and what a terrific season that they have had. But really, either one of these teams is going to go into that Cotton Bowl feeling like they have a chance to win.
Let me go next, Jerry, to the Big Ten. Michigan gets the job done in Columbus against Ohio State. I saw the last time they won there, you know, Harbaugh was still in the NFL. So tremendous job by him, especially since 2 years ago they were trying to throw him out of the job. Back-to-back college football playoff appearance for him. Purdue, your Purdue Boilermakers, Jerry, will face Michigan in Indianapolis. And I'll just say this. I am so happy that Iowa lost that game to Nebraska because there's no way that I could have sat through another Iowa-Michigan Big Ten title game and watch them get rolled. At least Purdue can score a few points, and they're getting 16.5. They might be able to stay within the number.
Yeah, I don't know. It depends. I mean, it's going to depend on Michigan's focus, Purdue's execution, you know, because sometimes their execution is a little sloppy or they get off to a slow start or something. They can't afford to do that. They've got to be lights on from the get-go if they're going to hang with Michigan and possibly win that game. You know, they don't call them the Spoilermakers for nothing. Nobody has more wins as an unranked team against top five teams in the AP poll than Purdue. So they've been in this situation before. In fact, they got two of those wins last year at Iowa at home to Michigan State. They're going to go in there, nothing to lose, and throw everything they have at Michigan. It should not be enough because Michigan is just better everywhere. It's a much more talented team. They're well coached, and if they're focused, I don't know how much Purdue can do about it. But Michigan is going to the playoff either way. And, you know, Purdue's best hope is, you know, great execution. Catch Michigan on a bit of a letdown after that big win in Columbus.
Jerry, tremendous stuff as always. I can't wait for this week. Thanks as always for joining us here on Coast to Coast. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back for El Coast to Coast on a Tuesday. Carver High, Dubs Anderson in for Scotty as he is on vacation this week. We're rocking with you, Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. Good to have you aboard. Coming off of a big win by the United States at the World Cup. They will face the Dutch Saturday morning, 10 a.m. Eastern. Get you a line when we see one for that. All right, Dubsy, let's move into a couple of other things here while we still have our time together. NFL from last night, I know that you were probably very interested in this one while you were doing in-game live, and that was, of course, the Monday Night Football game between the Steelers and the Colts. 24-17, Steelers win. I'm sure Scotty was going crazy. He was at the game last night, so huge night for Pharrell in the city of Indianapolis. Hopefully you got a big steak at that steakhouse everybody loves there during the combine after they went and won that game. But Dubsy, for me, the critical moment as somebody who went and bet Indianapolis on the money line plus 190 in the second half after they had that kickoff return was Saturday finally showed that he's a coach that was doing TV 3 weeks ago. He finally showed it at the end of that match where It's 24-17. The Colts are driving. Ryan takes a sack. Clock is just ticking away. No urgency whatsoever. He then scrambles for a few yards. Critical third and like four. And Dubsy, he's still not calling timeout. I was going nuts on the radio side with Lisi last night, screaming at this guy not calling timeout. I couldn't believe what was going on, Dubs.
Yeah, and look, Jeff Saturday, he is a locker room guy. He's going to bring the vibes. He's going to give you that big speech to have you charging through a brick wall, but I don't think he's cut out for the big stuff. I don't think he's cut out to be coaching here in the NFL. And look, what's he really working with there? I mean, Matty Ryan cover, he can't air that thing out over 30 yards. Jonathan Taylor, their primary weapon there in the backfield, they didn't even want to get him busy last night. So the Colts, who are right in the thick of this one, I mean, it's back to the drawing board for them. But hey, talking about Scotty Steelers, I think there's plenty of upside there. Pickett to Pickens. I mean, what, Kenny Pickett, 174 passing yards, no interceptions. This is a guy who's playing with a lot of poise in a Steelers side. Mike Tomlin, I mean, he knows how to get him up for that primetime spot. I think there's a lot of optimism. Plenty of, you know, positives to take from that one, 24-17. The Steelers, I only had him in a teaser. I was that scared of last night, but they got it done.
Yeah, look, and three games in a row now, no turnovers for Pickett, which is exactly what you want to see, especially the way he started. I got to hear this clown Saturday first talk about it. And he's like, no problem whatsoever, Dubs. Don't worry. You know, we had plenty of time. No, you didn't. And then you were rushing and called a run play up the middle on third and four, and you still let the clock run. Let's listen to this clown.
Jeff, after the Matt Ryan scramble, were you thinking you might call a timeout there? Is that one you'll go back and look at?
Nah, yeah. You know, I thought we had plenty of time. I wasn't really concerned. We still had timeout, so I wasn't too concerned. I really wanted, when he was going down, I couldn't tell where they were going to start him from going down, right? Like if he was going to get the first down, and then we got there. I expect us to get on the ball and have another play. A little bit quicker than that, but again, this wasn't a press for time. We just didn't make enough plays.
Oh, stop it, Jeff. Honestly, that's just, listen, just admit it. You made a mistake. You had three timeouts. It was under a minute to go. You didn't use any of them. It is what it is. I'm done with Jeff Saturday, Dubsy. I can't take it anymore. Dubs, hot off the presses. We've been waiting for this since the game ended. I have for you the opening odds to advance. Now, this is to advance. This is not the 90-minute line I have, Dubs. This is to move on. Netherlands, -275. United States, +175. That is odds to advance. So you figure the 90-minute line, you know, probably a little bit different. You'll probably get a little bit more on the 90-minute line with the United States. But +175 to move on, Dubs. Give me the tickets, Dubsy. Let's go, baby. Give me the tickets.
Let's go. Full send. I'm not even sitting around here waiting for a better number, baby. Put me in there for Saturday morning. +170. Yeah, I like my chances. And for the soccer bettors, this is where it gets interesting. These books will be preying on you. You've got to be banking on the 90-minute result because overtime is going to be coming into play there. Team USA +170 against an aging, sloppy Netherlands who have looked, okay, they've looked decent. I'll give them their flowers. That's a good spot for Team USA, Carver.
And you make a great point, Dubsy, that we should talk about, you know, with these knockout rounds starting on Saturday. We have a few more days of group stage to go. But that number for odds to advance, that means a team wins in the regular 90, wins in extra time, wins in penalties. That means just a team to move on. You could get sometimes, Dubsy, I know if you're a first-time soccer bettor, it can get a little confusing when you look at that main line, because usually the main line they're giving you is the 90-minute line. They're not including the 30 minutes of extra time or the penalties. So you got to be careful, Dubsy, if you do want to bet that in any of these knockout round games.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why you always see three choices. Either time to win it straight up, and then you've got the draw in play there as well. They will include the injury time, which will probably be the 5, 6, 7 minutes at the end of the match. But once we get into extra time, that's going to be a different bag of chips there. So to advance, if you want to play it safe and you're big on Team USA, just trying to scrap their way through, which I think a lot of bettors will because we just don't have that firepower to score a lot of goals going against the Netherlands. Yeah, if I was Greg, let's hold possession 60-65% and try and play for that extra time. Send it to a shootout where we do know it is a coin flip, even for these big nations for the states going up against.
Now, do you want to wait for the Pulisic information before you go and run to the window with the USA tickets? Do you want to wait? Because let me tell you, it's probably two Bills or more if he doesn't play, Dubs. I feel like that line is with him playing that 175. Yeah. I think it's a little more if he doesn't.
Yeah, and what did he show us with that goal in the first half? He put his body on the line. Any other soft athlete would avoid it and say, no, not today. But Christian Pulisic, he chose violence. He chose to get that ball in the back of the net. He took one for his efforts. We saw him jogging there on the sideline after the injury. That tells me it's soft tissue. They'll get him in one of the ice baths. He'll be good to go in a couple of days. He'll be ready for that Saturday matchup. I would be shocked if he wasn't a go.
I'm with you, Dubsy. That's for sure. I cannot wait. All right, couple other things here with the NFL. The Jets, big winners on Sunday. The Mike White experience back in full effect. Zach Wilson to the bench he goes. Dubs, get him out of here. But here is Jets coach Robert Saleh. He's not exactly ready, for whatever reason, to commit to Mike White going forward and for the rest of the season. This guy's another one, Dubs, I can't stand. Here's Saleh.
Has Mike's performance caused you to perhaps reconsider the quarterback plan that you outlined for us on Wednesday, the one where you said, you know, you fully intend to get Zach back on the field this year?
No, it's like I said, we're going to go week to week. There's things that we'd love to see Zach accomplish over the course of, we'll call it a reset, but and this is Mike White's opportunity. That doesn't change. So Mike's got an opportunity to go stack another great day up this week. And when we feel like Zach is ready to roll, he's going to roll.
Now, I get it, Dubsy. You don't want to just, I guess, completely discard the kid and throw him to the side. He said like two different things there in that clip. First, he said it's a week-to-week thing. And then he said this is Mike White's opportunity. So I don't think we really know which one it is. I know this, Dubs, and I know you know this too watching. Mike White threw for 310 yards, 315 yards. I don't think Zach Wilson threw for that in the last three games he started combined. So I think that if you're talking about aggressive offense, moving the football, getting Garrett Wilson involved, Mike White's the quarterback for the Jets. It's just that simple.
Yeah, and I mean, you put a bit of pressure on Saleh, and he folds like a cheap suit. It was the week prior where he's saying, this is Zach's team. We're going to stick by him. And then he's like, okay, the locker room didn't agree with me coming out and saying that to the press. No, we're going to take a look at all options. The locker room, ask and you shall receive. There was no way they were going to lose that one there on Sunday after getting rid of the mummy's boy, Zach Wilson, from the helm. It's all right. Sometimes you've got to admit that you've made a mistake there at the draft. I know it's not easy to do, but Robert Saleh, yeah. I mean, a little bit of pressure and he's changing his tune. He's nothing but a puppet. Somebody's pulling the strings there and maybe it's Zach, the old Zach attack, but he's done. He's got no upside to him at all there, Carver.
The Jets are in Minnesota this week to take on the Vikings. Early in the week here, Dubs, Vikings -3, 45.5 is the total. I just watched New England go to Minnesota on Thanksgiving night, and I saw a lot of offense from the Vikings. I like Minnesota here. I actually think the line's a little short. I think the Vikings will take care of business at home.
Yeah, I mean, no one wants to get behind Kirk Cousins because he's a bit of a dork, but I like his swagger there, Carver. He's wearing the big necklaces, the big chains on the plane. He's got that chip on the shoulder, and I think this is the season he shows a lot of people that, yes, he can step up in a little primetime spot. Give me the Vikings. Come on, Kirk's my guy.
I like it, Dubsy. Speaking of primetime spots, there's like 1,000 really good games on Sunday. This is like a really good week for the NFL. I think there's 7 matchups of teams that are 500 or better facing off. But yet on Sunday night, because the Cowboys were scheduled there, we can't get one of those good games in on Sunday night. We still got to get the Cowboys and the Colts as our Sunday night game. Here's McCarthy for you. Of course, the Odell Beckham Jr. recruitment is in full force in Dallas, but apparently Mike isn't part of the crew that is trying to woo Odell. He has no idea when the guy's even going to be there. Here's Mike.
What happened with Odell Beckham over the weekend? Does that alter the team's view of what they of an impending visit or anything like that?
Really haven't been involved in a conversation about it, but I know for personally, you know, based off of, you know, my understanding, I think we're moving full steam ahead.
I'm not involved in the conversation, Dubs. Jerry puts everything on the plate, and I just have to go out there and make sure that I win, Dubs. That's my job as the head coach.
Yeah, I mean, why on earth would you be involved in those conversations? You're the head coach, mate. Wake up. You're looking like Odell Beckham Jr. out there on the tarmac. I've been on plenty of planes where they've had a bit of a dusty hangover. Yeah, I'm not buying Odell Beckham Jr. Be careful what you wish for. I don't think he's got much upside out there on the field. Sure, he's a bit of a threat, but what we saw at the Rams last year, that was all he had left in the tank. So good luck to the Cowboys taking Odell Beckham Jr. if that one comes to fruition.
I asked Cam this yesterday, Dubs. Like, honestly, when have you ever gotten on an airplane and didn't just, like, when you sat down, just immediately put your seatbelt on? Like, when it's, like, almost like second nature. You sit down on a plane, you waited forever to board. It's, like, the first thing you do, especially if you want to grab some Z's. Like, that's the first, like, you're going to go down, you buckle the seatbelt so nobody bothers you. I'm surprised we haven't gotten some footage from the plane from one of the passengers yet. I'm surprised that that hasn't hit social media showing what Beckham actually went on there. Sunday night, minus 11 for the Cowboys with the Colts coming to town. I watched the Colts last night, Dubsy. They suck. I'll lay the 11 with the Cowboys Sunday night.
Yeah, I'll be right there with you. Statement game, statement performance at home then. Too much offense. Give me Tony. Give me a slice of Zeke. 7-1 first touchdown scorer we cashed out there last Thursday. The Colts, they ain't it. I mean, if we had relegation in the NFL, the Colts, they'd be one of the first teams going down.
Man, we got a lot of teams this year, Dubsy, that could be in that category.
Yeah, we do. I mean,
we got a lot of teams that would be testing the relegation theory if it was available in the NFL. All right, Pharrell Coast to Coast on a Tuesday. Carver High, Dubs Anderson in for Scotty. Rocking with you on Sports Grid and Sports Grid Radio. We keep going right after this on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we are back. Pharrell Coast to Coast on a Tuesday. Carver High, Dubs Anderson in for Scotty today on the grid. All right, Dubsy, we are through 12 weeks of the NFL season. Usually every week, me and Scotty like to take a look at where things stand, spread-wise, etc., at this point of the season. How about this, Dubsy? Underdogs still making it happen. Underdogs against the spread, 57%, 176-4. Underdogs of 3 or more points, 63%, 66-39-1. Unders are hitting at 57%. Been a good year for the Pooches, Dubsy. Real good year so far.
Woof, 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 woof. Yeah, I don't know. Something about the style of play and the unders there as well. I mean, that unders percentage has to be taken from every single primetime spot that we've come up against. Thursday night, Monday night, I break it down with Joe Ranieri in game live primetime. We're almost falling asleep watching some of those primetime fizzes. So interesting stats there. Halfway through the season, where has the season gone, Carver High?
It goes too fast, Dubs. I say this all the time on all these shows. It's way too quick. Like, you're so excited for it to start. Before you blink your eye, it's Thanksgiving. And then before you know it, it's Super Bowl week. It's amazing how fast it goes. Best teams against the spread: Giants, Titans, and Bengals, all 8-3 against the number. Lions, Cowboys, Jets, Chargers, 7-4 against the number. The Commanders checking in there as well. Interesting to see. You know what? Not interesting at all. To see the Titans and the Bengals. Giants are still there at 8-3, Dubs, but they got to get their act together the next couple weeks.
Yeah, mate, I'm looking at the Bengals, 7-4 there. Joey B, Joey, cool. No Jamar Chase, no worries for the Bengals. Super Bowl hangover? No, I don't think so. I think the Rams were drinking whatever that one was. I like me some Bengals. They're shaping up nicely.
And I will tell you, I don't even need the graphic. The worst team against the spread this year is the Broncos. There it is anyway, Dubsy. 3-8. The Broncos train wreck season. All right, we'll come back final hour. Coast to coast. Carver High and Dubs after this.